Daily, and we're talking now about a GPS. Hold on to your seat. Can you feel the earth move beneath your feet? Australia sits on the world's fastest moving tectonic plate, and we're drifting about 7 centimeters a year to the northeast. This may not sound like a big deal, but it has a huge impact on our GPS systems. Professor Chris Rizos is a professor of geodesy and navigation at the University of New South Wales and joins me now to talk about it. Thank you for joining me, Chris.
Yes, good morning.
So, Chris, first of all, how do we actually map the Earth using GPS?
Well, GPS was developed and used first in the 1980s, even before the navigation community, by scientists who really wanted to measure between points on the surface of the Earth, because we knew the plates were moving. The theory of plate tectonics had been developed in the 1960s. There was a lot of geological evidence, but no one had actually measured how many centimeters year in, year out, the plates moved and in what direction. So GPS was the technology, comparatively low cost compared to using lasers and other technically complex equipment such as radio telescopes. And that's really how we got involved. And now we've got thousands and thousands of GPS receivers around the world, which are stuck on concrete pillars, which are used to continuously measure motion, the slow motion of the Earth movement.
And now at the beginning of this year, I believe it was, they had a big shift in Australia's GPS coordinates in particular. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, because back in 1994, obviously the plate, Australian plate, was at a certain position, if you like to think of it. And we said, okay, we'll hold those positions. We'll give every point in Australia, all maps in Australia, would have three-dimensional coordinates. You know, X, Y, Z, or latitude, longitude, and height. And that would be frozen to where the continent was in 1994. Now, when you have GPS technology like such as in your smartphone, it's only accurate about 5 meters. So it's not a big deal that over time, since 1994, we've moved about 1.6 meters. So that's still much less than the accuracy of what most people's phones would give them. But the problem is that really we are starting to get new technologies, new positioning using GPS-type systems, which are getting, you know, accurate to the decimeter. And certainly we've also been operating for a long time at the centimeters, but we used to sort of know how to handle it. Now we're sort of on the verge of almost a mass market in precise positioning of submeter accuracy. We're concerned that this problem about the fact that we're stuck back in 1994, yet we're in 2017, we're 1.6 meters off, that this is going to become a bit of a source of confusion. So what we've done is basically said, okay, we've flicked from 1994 to 2020, actually we've gone forward 3 years in time. Now we've held that fixed, and that'll be good for, you know, several more years before we have to sort of do another shift of the data.
Now, Chris, with the shift was about 1.8 meters, so a little bit, I think it's meant to be good till about 2020. How moving forward are they going to try and with dynamic GPS technology, how are they going to try and work with further shifts in the future so we don't have to keep jumping it forward?
Now, that's an excellent question. That's where Australia is actually doing something that probably no other country yet has done, and that's why they're watching us very carefully. What we've done with moving to 2020 is what is called a conventional static datum. That is, we just freeze it to 2020, and then over time, again, the 7 centimeters of year builds up and accumulates until, again, we have to do another step jump. What we're trialing is a second datum running in parallel with this sort of conventional datum, which is going to be continuously moving. We have everything with four-dimensional coordinates, latitude, longitude, height, and time. But obviously all our computer systems that handle coordinates, our map systems, all of those will now have to be, they'll have to be upgraded to handle a dynamic datum such that we will know at any time that we make a position where we were at that instant. That's something that's going to be trialed. But it will be done in parallel with having, for the public, shall we say, a standard datum. And we hope that by 2020 or 2023, we will move across and people won't notice fact that we're dealing with four dimensions.
So then moving forward, for other people in other countries or continents that may not have as extreme drift as Australia, will they be looking to adopt this sort of four-coordinate system as well? Do you see it becoming the standard for the future?
I think for some countries it is, but there'll be a lot of inertia in other countries. I mean, for example, if you tie your property boundaries to coordinates, then they become legal. And then whenever you've got legal issues, there will be a great reluctance to change the way the coordinates are defined. So in other countries like the UK or the US or Canada, where the boundaries, property boundaries, are not defined by coordinates, they're more likely to adopt systems such as ours, because in fact a lot of the software that will be developed to handle the Australian situation will probably be developed by multinational companies, the big software companies. I mean, Apple and Google are going to have to sort of build in the capability of handling more and more accurate coordinates that change with time. So we may be the first, but there will not be a regular queue of other countries, because, as I said, many will say, well, we're not moving very fast, we shouldn't touch coordinates. So what we're seeing is a certain subset of the countries will move probably within the next 5 years to something similar to what Australia has.
Well, it certainly does sound like a matter of inertia then. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Chris, to talk about it.
Thank you.